There are many well. I'll start. I was on the wrong page. I'm like, wait, where's the teaser? Okay, this is often how we start out. There are many well-validated studies showing that Tai Chi improves balance and reduces likelihood of falling, reduces stress and improves well-being, helps reduce chronic pain and improve joint mobility, improves cardiovascular health, improves cognitive aging. Today's guest is Daniel Chadud, Tai Chi and Qigong instructor and disciple of the world-famous teacher, Dr. Yang Zhuangming.
Welcome to the Thriveology Lab podcast, where we explore the science, philosophy, and practice of thriving. Our goal is to help you create a happier and healthier life through education, application, and transformation. Your co-hosts on this journey are Neil Utterbeck, that's me.
And Phil Dunwoody, that's me. Neil and I are both on the faculty at Juniata College, where we teach courses to promote human thriving and well-being. Neil, where can people find us?
Thank you for asking. Please subscribe to Thriveology Lab on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave a comment or question on YouTube, and we will be sure to respond. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. You can also reach out with questions or comments at thriveologylab@gmail.com.
In today's episode, we welcome my friend and martial arts colleague, Daniel Chadud. Daniel is an instructor of both Tai Chi and Qigong and regional director of Yang's martial arts schools in South America. He resides in Santiago, Chile, where he teaches both Tai Chi and Qigong. Daniel was accepted as a formal disciple of Dr. Yang Zhuangming in 2021. Dr. Yang is one of the foremost international experts on Chinese martial arts and Qigong. Daniel's currently working on a book that applies Tai Chi philosophy to life, including business, relationships, teamwork, and crisis management. Daniel teaches regular classes and offers seminars on Tai Chi and Qigong. I have been lucky enough to attend some of those and very much enjoyed them. And I want to say it's great to see you again, Daniel. We first met 2010, 2011. Do you remember when it was? Long time ago.
Yes. Hi, Bill. Hi, Neil. Thank you for the invitation. I'm very happy to be here. And you do an amazing job communicating to people better ways of living. So it's great. Excited to be here. And yes, Phil, I think we've known each other for, let's say, 15 years. And it's been quite a pleasure to share part of the journey together and this practicing.
Definitely.
We're thrilled to have you here, Daniel. Thank you.
I was saying before we started this recording that my social media feed right now is filled with commercials for Tai Chi, and there are these super ripped, muscly Asian guys, supposedly over 50, who say they do nothing but Tai Chi and they get that body. I'm just going to say for the record, I've been doing Tai Chi since the late 90s and I don't have a body like that. So I want to know what I'm doing wrong, Daniel.
Probably the answer is publicity.
Yeah. In all seriousness, though, right, there is this kind of media blitz right now on for especially men in the middle ages. I've had other people come up to me and say, I'm seeing all these in my, you know, Facebook page or YouTube or Instagram. So it's clearly out there. But most people don't know what Tai Chi is. Now, I teach Tai Chi. I've been practicing it since the late 90s. Obviously, you do. When people ask you, what is Tai Chi, what do you say?
Well, first of all, what people is familiarized with the concept of Tai Chi is the practice, is the Tai Chi Chuan. So what everybody have heard or probably seen people practicing in the park, right, these slow movements with breathing and very popularized in Asia, that's called Tai Chi Chuan, right? It's a practice. So it's the application of a philosophy. That philosophy is called Tai Chi, by the way. And Tai Chi, it's a philosophy that has 5,000 years old in China. And it's strongly related with Taoism, And it goes back to the root of the I Ching, one of the oldest book ever written, and the Tao Te Ching, very popular Chinese philosophy books that talk about this philosophy of Tai Chi. So to understand what is Tai Chi Chuan, the practice, first you need to know a little bit about the philosophy behind. So the philosophy talks about nature and how to reconnect with our own nature as human beings. Humans come from an evolution that took us today to this modern society, what is sometimes crazy enough, where they offer you a course of Tai Chi Chuan that will bring you into youth, back to youth, right? And it's very misleading, to be honest.
I guarantee enlightenment.
Exactly. So the promise everyone is looking, and that's the reason why the people, your audience is following, is we want to feel better, right? We want to understand how to live a better life. And Tai Chi philosophy guides you in a very nice way back to the natural about life, right? So Tai Chi is the consciousness that leads you into action, right? It's very interesting that we Westerners and modern society, it's too much lean into action. We all want to do a lot of things. We set up objectives, plans, and we want to achieve a lot of things during our lifetime. But the question is how we balance all that achievement, all those objectives, all those activities with the development, let's say, of the internal side of life, right? Some people just call it your mind, right? Your well-being, the mindfulness. Other people like to call it spirituality, right? But actually, everyone is talking about the same thing. It's being in balance between your actions, your activities, your achievements, and at the same time, your well-being, your inside feeling, right?
Yeah,
And
this
Tai
is
Chi
just
is.
to connect real quick with something. Neil and I talk a lot about mindfulness meditation on this, and the terms they use is doing mind versus being mind. And we're
Exactly.
always in this doing mind, and we
Exactly.
have, as children, we knew how to just be, and we've kind of forgotten that. And so it's part of the practice. And I very much see this connection between Tai Chi and mindful practices this way. So go ahead, please. But okay, yeah. Neil,
Oh
you
yeah.
had
Oh, no,
the
I
not
was
Neil.
just I yeah, I don't want to derail you, Daniel, because I'm so inspired by what you're saying. And what I'm also hearing, and something that's been on my mind a lot, is we tend to be very sort of product oriented, particularly sort of as Americans. And even when Phil and I first started teaching, we were using a model, another psychologist model that emphasized one of the elements was achievement. As you know, and sure, it feels good to achieve things. We enjoy that sometimes, but when we think about a mindset and an approach to life, process gets you much farther. Focusing on a process rather than just, I'm going to hit these benchmarks, but that sort of way of living on a daily basis and the philosophy that I apply on the moment to momentness is also what I'm hearing you. Is that a fair synthesis of what you're Definitely.
saying?
Yes, Neil, that's exactly right. And to let me stand up a little bit broader view, right? Society, not long time ago, short time ago, was set up about having. So people was concerned how much I have, right? Let's say money, power, position, novelty, titles, whatever. About having things was the main objective in society. Then in the late 20th century, we turn very much into doing, right? It's not about having, but doing. What are we doing? And people in the old days defined themselves from what they had achieved in terms of possessions. Then today, society is very much oriented on the doing. So I define myself according to what I do, Right. But nowadays, what the new trend in the last couple of decades and the beginning of 21st century, it's people is getting more interest about the being, as you both of you were describing. So that's kind of the key definition, trying to find what we are, not what we do, right? And this connects, let's go back to the Taijin philosophy, that if we want to understand what we are, the being, we need to understand first our nature. What's our nature as human beings? So Taijin philosophy, although it's a very old philosophy, more than 5,000 years old, explore how it's nature and try to find your own nature. Because if you understand your own nature, you're going to be able to achieve and do and everything we like in this modern life, but from a more center and balanced position, right? And so the Tai Chi talks about the consciousness and how every act, every manifestation, it's a consequence of what we think, of what we have inside. So if we trace back to that insight of ourself, we're going to understand where we want to go, what we want to achieve, and how, as Neil was describing, the importance of the way, right? That's the top. The way of doing things is not only the objective, right? And enjoying that way, enjoying that process. So that philosophy, that's a very deep and simple in a way, because the Taoist is very simple, right? It's about nature. It's so simple as that, but it's so hard to apply because we make it complicated. It's our mind that make it complicated. So a lot of this process, practicing Tai Chi, it's undoing what we've been doing, right? It's all being aware of our conditionings, our ideologies, our belief that limit ourselves and started us to the wrong places instead of the original meaning of life, right? So it's very simple and deep at the same time.
Yeah, simple.
And
Simple is not easy, as we say about mindfulness as well.
yes. And this applies perfectly well to Tai Chi. So Tai Chi Chuan, it's a practice of putting into action this philosophy, this simple philosophy. A lot of people is familiarized with the exercise, right, of moving and doing these slow forms. People is familiarized with the hand forms, but there are also partner forms, drills. There is the use of weapons. The meditation, the sitting meditation, is part of the practice of Tai Chi Chuan too. But all these exercises are intended to be able to go inside, know yourself, conquer yourself, develop awareness, and being able to balance your doing with your purpose life. That's the deep meaning of those exercises. Of course, there is all the secondary benefits of practicing, right? Phil was describing all the studies that talks how this is so good for health, physical health and mental health, right? So there's a lot of benefits of doing this, but the main purpose of the original purpose of the practice, it's going even deeper. It's not only about having a healthy life and mind, body and mind, but it's also a more transcendent philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, it's you've used the word balance several times. The Tao is a it's a path, it's a way, a life philosophy, right? A way of approaching the world that is very much rooted in nature. And especially because you brought up this term balance several times, and some of our viewers or listeners will be watching on YouTube. Most will not be, but will be listening to the audio. I can see, Neil and I can see behind you, you have this beautiful picture of a yin yang kind of wrapped with a wave. And you see the yin yang used as this symbol in Tai Chi quite a bit. And obviously there's a connection historically with Taoist philosophy. given your references to balance and whatnot, what's the connection? What is, other than just this cool symbol that people put on t-shirts and hats, what is this yin-yang thing?
So you're going to the main, probably the central idea in Tai Chi is yin-yang, right? The yin-yang symbol. Yin-yang symbol talks about polarity. But a lot of ideas around yin-yang symbol in the West are that yin and yang is these two polarities. And they concentrate about the yin and the yang, the white and black, right? The feminine and masculine force and how they interact. But the truth is, and Phil was hitting the nail, is about the balance between both of them. So when you look at the yin-yang symbol, you see the black and the white. But if you notice more detail, inside the white, there is a black dot. And in the black, there is a white dot. And that dot means the balance, how every yin needs a yang to balance itself. And probably the most interesting part of the symbol is the S, that is the connection between the black and the white. Because you could have a black and white separated by a straight line. That would be a polar world. But if we use the S inside a circle, we're talking the balance. It's about blending the yin and the yang, right? So that's a philosophical part, but how we apply that in life. If we're going to do, because doing is a yang activity, it's an active activity, of course, you need to understand what's behind that action. What is the intention, right? And between the intention, that's the mind, and the action, that's the body, there is a feeling. That's the S, is the connection. And one of the key things to develop in life is the ability to feel what we're doing. That's something we neglect most of the time. We focus so much in achieving and the action to achieve that we forget how we feel about it. And the feeling is the tool, is the key tool you develop in this practice to be able to reconnect the yin, the mind, the spiritual side, with the action and the body. And in the doing of reconnect these two about through the feeling, we make the balance you were explaining, Phil. We get that balance, that harmony between our yin and our yang.
Yeah, there's so many things I just like my mind is like popcorning with. And I think,
yeah, same.
So, like, certainly I am no expert in Taoism. I think one of the things I think of in Taoist philosophy is a lot of sort of these philosophical paradoxes or contradictions, or sort of like effortless effort, and you have to sort of wrestle with that. And certainly in the West, we're often not comfortable with that nuance and complexity and sometimes contradiction between things that coexist. We like things to be compartmentalized left and right, purely this, purely that. And like that middle way is often complicated in very nuanced ways, right? So what I'm hearing is, also in that way that we can go, you know, to the gym and work out, but have really no sensitivity to the body that's doing the working, that mm-hmm. we're not really, we're doing physical things, but not in the body. We're not present in those feelings, sensations. And how can we be in the body more with the uncertainty and complexity that is nature is sort of what I'm hearing as well from that.
Yeah. I mean, that's, to piggyback on that a little bit, to connect with some of what we've talked about today, but in other episodes as well, this lack of balance and not connecting with kind of your true self in a way, the inner feeling. We get all these messages from society about what we ought to be doing to be successful, right? This, the achieving, the producing. And you know, Neil and I teach in a college, and we do advising with students who, sometimes they have a clear sense of purpose. Other times they feel very, very much lost. They get all these messages about what they ought to do to make money and be successful, and none of what they're hearing resonates with them. And it's exactly what you're talking about, Daniel, in that they have lost touch with that inner feeling because it's not been cultivated, right? This sense of kind of who they are, what they value. And I would point to our larger society and say, like, we are overly young. We have, you know, we're living out of balance with nature. We're living out of balance with our neighbors. We have this kind of more overly destructive, dominating, rather than working with. And this is one of the things I love about Tai Chi and Taoist philosophy. Like to bring it back around, Neil, to the leader who does nothing accomplishes everything, right? Like, well, what does that mean? And part of what it's about, it's not doing nothing, it's about working with. And how much, when you blend with what's happening, when you blend with the natural forces, just how much you can actually accomplish, because you're not trying to dominate, you're not trying to fight, you're working with. So it seems effortless because of that.
You're both digging in such a interesting topic that let me introduce about a book I'm writing about.
Yes, yes, please.
So I've been taking notes and writing ideas for already, I want to say, 15 years. And I'm writing in parallel two books. So one is Free from the Matrix. Exactly what both of you are talking about. The other one is Tai Chi Way, that talks about the philosophy. But the introduction comes with Free from the Matrix. So both of you were talking this idea from society that we are expected to do a lot of things that Phil was saying, many times we don't resonate with them, and that happens a lot to students, it's true. And Neil was talking about the contradiction that we found with a lot of things that happen in life and how Taoists describe them. And the reason is we have been programmed to think in a certain way too much. The matrix, and the matrix is basically society, right? So civilization was based on building stories that are not necessarily true, but we all work and function as if those stories were true, right? And that structure is necessary in society, by the way. It's the only way to coordinate and to develop humanity in the way that has been developed. But the problem with this is that when we overemphasize that structure, that's the young side, as you were describing, too much on the doing, and we don't reflect and we don't connect enough with our feelings and our intentions and our mind and our spirit, then we are in an unbalanced situation. And that's a reality of modern times. So the matrix is not necessarily wrong. Let me state on that. It's not a bad thing. It's a necessary, but it's overdeveloped. And the way to handle this into a happier life, a better enjoying of the life, is to balance with the internal side, to go back to the origin, to our nature, to understanding what are our real needs and how we tune. And this Free from the Matrix, this book I'm writing, it's not a new idea, right? Let's be honest. This has thousands of years. And if you study Taoist text and Buddhist texts, they all say there's four paths, there's four stages for getting free from the matrix. I don't know if you want to hear about them.
Yes, please.
So first, the first stage is self-recognition. So it's about knowing yourself, understanding yourself, accepting yourself, being able to see you in the mirror and recognizes the bright side and the dark side, right? In harmony, accepting it, and hopefully that self-recognition lead you into a self-conquering. So being able to handle yourself, to achieve your goals and your dreams, but in a balanced way with what you are actually, right? Your bright and dark sides. So first stage is self-recognition.
Know
Second
thy
stage,
know thyself, I
know
think of,
thyself. Exactly. So second stage, it's building the awareness. So it's not only I understand myself, but I became aware how the world is. So this time is looking outside, understanding how society works, how the world moves, right? How nature works. When I say nature, it's outside nature. So it's not only knowing our inside nature, but being able to understand and handle in the outside world. The third stage is awakening. And awakening implies, and this is the stage we've been discussing, how we balance between ourselves and the rest of the world, how we get tuned, how we harmonize, right? And this is kind of when you start getting out of the matrix, that you're able to live in the matrix, but being free from the matrix, not being necessarily limited. You can, let's say, jump out and in back. And we all remember the movie The Matrix, right? Where Neo could bend the rules and do things in a different way if he really wanted. And he was not, he could be part of the matrix, but not restrained by the matrix, right?
That's
And
such
then
a
comes
hard
the.
balance to pull off because
Oh,
I
yeah.
myself feel, I feel that pull. I get into the matrix and I get pulled further and further, and it's easy to lose. It's easy to lose touch, lose that center. To me, this is why I love going, for example, you and I met at the YMAA Retreat Center in California.
Sure.
And then just recently, we met up in Massachusetts at another YMAA gathering. These retreats, and Neil and I lead a retreat. We bring students to Costa Rica every year. The point of those retreats is to try and reconnect yourself with your center, with your values, because it's hard to maintain that in the storm, in the
Yes.
matrix.
Because the matrix is like a hamster wheel, right? Is the hamster wheel. So you need to be running. You don't stop. At a certain point, you get tired. You feel you're not progressing, right? And these retreats that Phil is describing, it's a great help to be able to get out, take a break, breathe, right? Reconnect with yourself, and then go back to the cycle. And by the way, life, it's about experiencing the real life, the matrix. I don't believe retirement is a permanent thing. We have to use it as a break. But the real challenge in life, it comes with work. If it's part of your plan, making a family, right? Achieving some stuff and putting some goals is part of life experience, right? But it's important to be able to jump in and out and try to not be so much restrained. And also, as Neil was saying, being able to understand these contradictions, because life is full of contradictions. And the reason is that's because we don't live life in a real way. We live it through the matrix. And that's part of our ideology. So when we confront reality, we start seeing these contradictions, right? And
Yeah,
it's kind of a call to wake up.
to me, this very much connects with the Taoist. There is a skepticism and a distrust of labels and language, and the Tao that can be named is not the true Tao, right? That classic line, and because it is because we like once we start we force things into categories that they don't naturally go, because we want that clear black and white situation, and in so we warp. We warp what is naturally there, and this may seem like a stretch of an example, but we're seeing this uptick in political violence in the U.S. right now, and a number of the actors, shooters or whatnot, have not had clear political affiliations, left or right, but both sides are trying to push them into the other side as a label because we want things to be simple. You're either all good or you're all bad. You're on my side or you're on the other side. And in doing that, we create this artificial separation, right? We fail to see the white inside the black and the black inside the white, right? This is, I think this is, gosh, it's so much a part of what we're struggling with as a society right now.
And I think also something Phil and I often talk about in class is, you know, we've been talking about balance, but it's, I always talk about it as a balancing, always a process of negotiating internal, external, like all these different forces. I can't just like block something out. I mean, that leads to physical health problems. It leads to sort of relational health problems. Like, as soon as I start blocking out the ebb and flow of different forces, but rather dancing with or flowing with those forces, is how I can live in this balancing state. And I think we often, in that same achievement marker, we want it to be done. I want to achieve balance and then I'll be done.
Once
I've found that, then right, there's no, but it's that continuum throughout life, death, and perhaps beyond, if you believe that. Daniel, you said, so the first of the four was the internal
self-recognition.
The second was the external of nature self-recognition. What's the third and fourth?
Awareness. The third is awakening. The third is awakening. So it's being able to, when you awake, you're capable to reconcile the world and yourself, is the third stage. It's the S, again, the yin and the yang first, like the symbol, right? So the first stage, self-recognition, is the yin side. You first need to understand inside. And then comes the yang, that's outside world, that's awareness. Third stage is the S. It's integrating yin and yang, internal and external, the world and yourself. That's called awakening. But the question is, what is number four?
Yeah, jumping in and out of the matrix. That's how you phrased
it. It's called crash the nothingness. Crash the nothingness. That's empty. That's the yin yang becomes nothing, a point.
No polarity.
No polarity.
Yeah.
And when people ask me what that means, because it's very theoretically complex, right? There is a story that's I found it really interesting to understand. So probably few have heard this story from Dr. Yang. It's it was this kid in China, and this is actually a real story. Many centuries ago. So this young kid was a great archer. He was really skillful at archery. And one day he saw an old man that was selling oil in these big bottles. In the old times, they were carrying oil to sell. And he saw this old man was really skillful. He could use a spoon, small spoon, and put the oil into small bottles for the customers in a very skillful way. He didn't lost a single drop using this spoon. And so the young kid came and asked the old man how he did it. That was really amazing. And he said, no, that's not amazing. And he will bring a chair, stand at the chair, raised up the spoon and let the oil go slowly into the bottle without losing a single drop. And the kid would be like, that's amazing. How did you do it? And the old man says, that's not amazing. You want to see something amazing? Sure. He grabbed an old Chinese coin with this hole in between, put it in the bottle, and then he goes to the second floor of the building and drop the oil slowly into the hole of the coin, into the bottle. And the kid was, wow, that's so amazing. And the old man came and says, you know, kid, that's not amazing. It's just training. And he left. So the kid started thinking about it. And he says, well, that old man, He's right. I'm the best archer in my town, and the reason is because I practice more than others. I'm always practicing. I wake up and practice at night. All my life I've been practicing. That's the reason why I'm better. And if I want to achieve more, I need to practice more. So he wake up. That's again the self-recognition and the process of awakening. And then this boy became a famous archer. He was part of the emperor's bodyguard, became the most famous archer in Chinese history. And after a certain point, the guy retired and went to live to the mountain. Many decades after, a good friend tried to look for him, searching every Chinese town until he found it deep in the mountain. And when they meet, they hug each other, recognize, and the friend dropped everything he was carrying in the table, including bow and arrow, the bow and arrow that he was carrying for protection. And the old famous archer saw the bow and said, "What is this funny thing you're carrying?" And the friend says, "Wow, you're the most famous archer in Chinese history, and you don't know what a bow and arrow is." And the guy says, "No, I have no idea." So that's the end of the story. What's the meaning? That after you've developed your life, you've done your self-recognition, you understand the world, let's say you conquer yourself, there is a point you need to drop that path that took you to that place. That's the moment when someone needs to know when to retire, when to stop doing, when the action is enough, and you go back to the origin, to the emptiness. And that's the fourth stage.
I think this is hard for, again, a lot of Western, where we think we must go, 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 accomplish, 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 and necessarily, and now, there's all this thing on kind of super aging, and how can I reach 120 and be super healthy? And Taoism is very much a nature-based philosophy, right? And so, death is just part of the cycle of life. It is not something to be feared or fought. It is something to work with. Because it just is. That is part of the Tao. I'm curious, you mentioned the book, and we just kind of touched on it a little bit. We talked about the philosophy. What areas are you, like, how are you thinking about this book? When can I read it? I want to know that. But then, like, what are you, because this really is, I mean, this is what Taoism, it's the application of it in what I hear you saying is these different areas. Do you have an example of areas that you're going to be kind of developing? Are we talking work, relationships? What's the focus of the book?
Well, first about the date, there's no date yet because I promised myself, I've been pushed by Dr. Yang, my master, to give him a date, but I've been taking my time because I think this book needs the proper aging. It's like a good wine. You cannot force it, right? And one of the reason is the more time that happens, that pass, I get a different angle. And as probably Phil knows, I'm not only a Tai Chi Chuan and Qigong teacher. I also I'm a father and a husband. I have a family, and I do have a business. So I try to learn from that experience to write, because if we're talking about application, we need to have a real root, a real experience about it. So about the application. These principles we were describing, it's very simple. It's about learning how to feel, how to listen, right? And how you balance the yin and the yang, the inside and the outside. So let me put several examples. Let's talk about relations between people. When people, let's say Phil wants to have a conversation with Neil, he has something important to say to Neil. And he's thinking about How can he handle that conversation? Let's say it's not an easy conversation. What naturally happens is that people think, what should I say? And we train about, I should say this
Yeah, the
argument or this
simulation.
reason. Yeah, it's everything about talking. We prepare for talking, but we're not prepared for listening. And the way to apply Tai Chi to a conversation, let's say hard conversation, you should focus on listening, not in talking. So it would be much more useful to raise up good questions first and try to hear what Neil has to say, what he thinks about it, how he feels about it, and connect with that feeling. Once you understand better what Neil is thinking and feeling about the topic, you're probably going to come up with much better ideas how you could solve it or how you can confront the situation. So in Tai Chi, we have a saying that when you want to push, first pull. So you pull and then push, right? And then your opponent's going to help collaborate. Because every time you pull, he's going to want to pull back. And then you push. You just listen and follow. So, for example, in relations, it's a lot about being able to listen first, understand, and then talk. Oh, for example, in crisis management, that's a huge topic. I personally have struggled through business crisis. I've done different entrepreneurship business, and I had to confront several hard crises. And you learn a lot about how the most important part to keep is your internal balance first, and then try to solve what's any crisis happening outside. And when you do it, there are some simple tools you can follow. The outcome is definitely more favorable. Also, for example, raising up kids, we have, and this is very hard task for anyone that's carrying that. There is no secrets or no recipes that works for everybody. But when parents understand the kids' nature and approach them from their understanding and not your as a parent understanding, the outcome again comes much better. And like that, there are many applications in life where if you put enough attention in the yin side, and not only in the yang side, in the manifest, in the intention, in the action, you can get a much more favorable outcome of the situation.
And that sounds so, again, I think to many sort of Western ears, that sounds paradoxical, that sort of if you want to push-pull situation. And I also teach theater, and I was literally having this conversation with a bunch of actors yesterday because you often see on stage people just waiting to say their line. They just want to say the thing they, but when you see actors really listening on stage, it's electric. And because we, I think, to what you're speaking to is like our nature is listening. Our nature is trying to seek that attunement, but society has told us, no, you've just got to push, push, push. You've got to go, 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 drive, drive, drive. State your claim, make your claim. You got, and that's it sounds counterintuitive, but it's actually what I'm hearing you say is more in alignment with our true nature than
Yes.
the matrix way we've been living.
Yeah, definitely. And if you see the original people, the ancient cultures, they're a lot about observation, right? And trying to listen in nature and following nature versus trying to dictate the plan, how things have to be done. So what you're saying, Neil, is and you were describing this beautiful example in theater, also in music. For example, if you hear great music masters, and I have personally met one very famous Chilean piano player. He was very, it was a great recognition in Europe. He said, when you play a tune, the most important part is the silence. And he says, any interpreter will play the same notes. The difference is the silence between the notes. And there is, when you find that timing, when you connect, when you get that feeling, when is the silence, then the music is touching. When the notes are perfect, like a computer playing a music, it's not touching. It's perfect and it's not beautiful. It's not touching. When you get that feeling, as you were saying, Neil, when the actor can listen, when the musician know where the silence is, then that connects magically, right? And that's the
That's
art.
beautifully put, Daniel.
It is. It is. I mean, I play bass in a couple of projects, and I've always found if I'm focused on playing, I'm not going to sound nearly as good as if I'm focused on listening. And it's and I think in the beginning, all of us think, well, I have my part I need to be playing, and so that's what we're focused on. And the shift you need to make is to be listening. And yes, you're playing, but that part happens as part of listening because you're working with at that point. And there's this harmony that doesn't happen when if everyone's just playing without listening, that does not work. But it's a subtle difference. Like I've talked with students about this musically, and of course, it's a big emphasis in Tai Chi. You know, it's interesting that we've had this long conversation about Tai Chi and what is it, and we've really not touched much on the martial as a martial art, right? Which you know, there is this playful, even competitive side to it, and it does come out of, you know, it's a style of Chinese Kung Fu, and that's the origins, but it is so deeply rooted in the philosophical tradition, and that is so rich, and you know, all the things you're saying about helping you find balance, it reminds me a lot. Neil and I talked a couple times on this podcast about Martha Beck's book, The Way of Integrity. And if you haven't read that, I'll send you the link, and I would recommend it because it is similarly about this. How do we find harmony in life? How do we find, she refers to it as integrity, when we're often living out of balance because of all the messages we get from society? And she uses Dante's Inferno as kind of her metaphor for kind of finding our way out of the dark wood of error. But it's you know, all of these things speak to, and I think even the idea that, you know, Neil and I do this podcast. We have a class on well-being. It's addressing a need because it is something that we often neglect. We think I'll focus on my well-being, you know, after I get everything done, you know, when I'm successful, when I have this, you know, then I will do these other things. But our,
Tomorrow never comes.
yeah, and our, and your well-being, that living in integrity and balance is central to being authentic in everything else you do. And gosh, this has been a wonderful interview, Daniel. I so appreciate it.
I'm
We could
enjoying it
talk for
very
much,
hours more.
and I mean, you already understand deeply the concept, and you put beautiful examples. Let me add one more. Life is like architect, because we try to be architecture of our own life. When you come into a building, what's more important, the wall, the doors, the windows, or the spaces inside, right? So great architects design spaces, not walls. It's not about the material inside. It's about the spaces, not only physical spaces, but what give the chance for activities to develop in a good way, in a special way. You feel special gathering together in a place. And that happens in nature, because the best architect, right, is when you go to nature, and the spaces are just amazing and touching. And you can feel in the inside something really that moves yourself. And it's the spaces. So if we want to have a fulfilling life, we need to design it in that way. We need those spaces in time, right? To enjoy, to appreciate, to connect, to feel life. And that's the main issue we are neglecting in modern times. Everything is so much rush, rush, rush. Everything is so much achieving, getting material things or acquiring knowledge. And the question is for what? If you don't have the time and the space to enjoy them, to connect with them, to feel them, that's the difference. That's the Tai Chi way. And that's the second book.
That's beautiful.
That's
That's
awesome.
beautiful, Daniel. It was so great to have you. I can't wait to see you again in person,
Same, my friend.
enjoy your company. I think your challenge this week is to do some listening. Do some listening to yourself. And I'll say this, this can initial it does that's not necessarily a comfortable thing, because you may listen and discover I feel very out of balance, right? But I'd say that's okay. That's that self-knowledge. That's that first step that you mentioned. And that way to integrity, that way to living in harmony and balance, that is the root of it, is knowing when you're getting out of balance. Because as have come up several times here, you never get it and then keep it. I am always struggling with this. I think I always will be. I mean,
Normal.
it's life, right? That's
It is
the matrix
normal.
throws these curveballs at us.
Yes.
And so we have to learn how to live in harmony with ourselves, with each other. Gosh, we could use more of that.
Let me share a small advice for everybody. It's very simple.
Go
It's
for it.
not nothing. Let's try a lot of our choices, because choice is a big thing in life. We center in one thing. For example, if something is convenient, right? Or other cases, we choose when we feel well emotionally about something. So people say, follow your heart. That's not necessarily a good thing, right? The question is, when we choose, can we choose that is convenient and makes you feel good? So let's try to focus in choosing to get the balance, the yin and the yang, the rational side, the emotional side. When a choice involves both at the same time, in that integration, you'll make good decisions. Every time you choose only through convenience or only because you feel good, you're probably making a mistake. So let's try to apply that simple idea.
I think
That's
that goes to career advice. I mean, so many of us, and I'm totally guilty of this, accept opportunities because they are, quote, good opportunities and will look good on my resume, but they may not actually resonate with me. Right? And so what I hear you saying is, well, what I tell my students as well is you want the merger. You want both of those. Yes, you want it to be a good opportunity. You also really want it to resonate with your values, with your beliefs, with who you are as a person.
All right, friends, thank you again to Daniel Shadu, the wonderful, wonderful interview. That's it for this episode. Friends, please subscribe to Thriveology Lab on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a comment or question on YouTube and we'll be sure to respond. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And if you have any questions or comments, or if there's a subject you'd like to hear us discuss, please reach out to thriveologylab@gmail.com. Thrive on, my friends.
Thrive on.